30?
Generic.
Okay, great. Okay, has everyone had a chance to look at the minutes? Okay, we'll entertain a...
I'd like to make a motion to approve the June 17th minutes.
Okay, is there a second for the minutes?
I have a...
Oh. Let's get a second for the purpose of discussion then.
Second.
Okay, and then Nana?
I think a small correction on page 6.
Okay.
Legislature Archer will not find, I think maybe said that the committee will not find or something.
It'll be hard to find.
It will be hard to find.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, any other comments on the minutes in terms of corrections, changes? Okay, so is there a motion to accept the minutes as amended?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay, now let's move on to the RFP. We circulated RFP, Carol was so kind to put together using our regular sample, adding some of our language, and what we're here tonight to do is hopefully to finalize the language so that we can leave this meeting at least feeling good with moving forward and starting to get this out, just because the timeline is short. So if everyone has that in front of them, Carol, you can probably talk us through some of, you know, what boilerplate and where this changes. Just, I'm going to hand it over to Carol.
Can you find Dave's folder?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yes. Okay. All right. David. Here.
Okay, so I hand it over to Carol. I think probably we're starting with section one, the purpose.
Okay. This is our standard boilerplate for an RFP, and it contains all of the language that goes in most all of them. We adapt it to the department and to the project. In putting this draft together, I used your resolution 155, and that's where the purpose comes from, trying to describe what you wanted to accomplish. Sections two, the return date, when you get the RFP the way you want it, we put in a date. This is telling the agencies, firms, what we want. Two, three, submission conditions. Again, standard. General guidelines, speaks to itself. Questions and clarifications. This is the information to the firms to tell them how to submit questions. And that we divide. If there are purchasing-related questions on procedure, we will answer. If it has to do with the scope of work, then I turn in this case over to you. And and when I say the department, in this case it means the legislature, the people who know what the project is will answer those type of questions. Qualification, pre-proposal meeting, I can't see that. I don't think there's a necessity for that. Method of award, again, standard language. Contract period, we would have to discuss before it goes out, when you want the contract to start and when it has to be finished by. You asked about scoring sheets. The evaluation criteria here is pretty general. And unless it is a very specific and technical project, this is pretty much what we use for all of them. The one that I see is not in this particular draft is the local economic development.
Is it there?
It's in your draft. Okay, it's not in my original draft. And how we do this has to add to 100 points, and we rate it the way you need. The overall plan, usually that's anywhere between 30 and 50. The price, again, 15 to 30. The qualifications and experience, again, in the 20 to 30. understanding the goals, usually around 10, and maximum of 5 for the local economic development. If you choose, after the proposals come in, you review them, you score them, you may ask or may want to interview one or more responders. It's unusual to interview them all, but it does happen once in a while. Those are scheduled through our office. They come in. We usually give them about an hour, let them do a short presentation if you wish, and then use it mainly for questions and answers. It lets you define and the project, and it lets you learn a little bit more about the firm. Submittal of content and format. Again, the purpose of that is so that everybody writes the RFP in the same format, so that when the people on the committee go to score them, they're not doing one of this. Now, where's his qualification? They're supposed to be right in order. I have to say, generally, the companies are very good about doing that. The one thing that we do in most of them, the fee proposal, I usually have one person on the committee score that and evaluate the budget. We can have everyone if you choose. I find a lot of times that some committee members are not comfortable doing that. So if I ask the department head to choose one person to do that, I get a good interpretation, and we just add that score to everybody's total.
Part of the problem, the price is the price. So what we do is, at the department level, is that we typically have a fiscal person. You know, if there's 3 or 4 people on the committee, we have a fiscal, one of their accountants or a fiscal person do the finances, which come in a separate proposal anyway, because if it's a $100,000 proposal, and that's the most, or let's say the lowest cost, and that you give the lowest cost the best score of 20, well, then some people on the committee might give the next highest score 19. Some might give them 15. So if it's not uniform, then your scoring for price ends up all over the place. So it's just easier to have one person. Or, I mean, you could have a uniform mm-hmm. way of doing it.
It also helps, too. A fiscal person can see where they're going to spend your money. Are they going to use 30% of it in administration, or are you going to get the service and that top money is not going to be as high as in some others? And that's what we're looking at. Price and budget help. Scope of work. This is the meat and potatoes of the RFP. This has been the bugaboo all along. I took this, again, from the resolution. Basically, what this does, it tells the firms that you're sending it to what you want. This is where you, as the director of this, tell the people, this is what we're looking for. This is my problem. Tell me how to solve it. And I think that's the best way to describe an RFP. Again, I took this from your resolution. Alternate proposals, had one last week. Sometimes a firm will think they have an entirely different way of doing something. They're very rare, but we do accept them. Compliance with laws, yeah, we want them to. Personal identification when they're on county property. Insurance to meet the county's requirements. Disqualification, I don't think we've ever done that, but basically it says we can disqualify someone who doesn't meet our standards as a firm. Payment, that's standard language. Freedom of information. The affidavit of non-collusion is a state-required form. Suspension and debarment has to do with, again, state, New York State, where firms who have violated the state labor laws can be put on that list. Prevailing wage usually does not apply in an RFP. And then implied requirements. I love this paragraph. If I didn't write it in here and we need it, I still want it. And that's the catch-all phrase. and the timetable for the request for proposal. Those are all suggested dates or what we estimate our dates to be. It will get a sample contract. If it meets the business associates agreement, we put that in, and the rest are the standard forms that we request that they sign. And that basically is what constitutes an RFP. But again, going back, the key to the whole thing is a good scope of work. What do you want to accomplish?
Well, thank you, Carol.
Yeah, I have a question on the scope of work. Because in the, section 10, number 2, conduct a thorough re-examination and study of the work completed.
Can I just interrupt and say, I asked Carol, per our last meeting, literally to just put in language from our resolution. So this is the direct language from the resolution on creating this committee,
okay.
And that's what we're here to do right now, is this may stay exactly as this, or we may change this entirely by having more specifics. So that's what, right now, I hope at the end of this meeting, this is going to be a working meeting, and we're going to hopefully have something that we're all satisfied with, particularly in this 10, because then we can say, okay, go ahead. But Ned, go ahead and ask the question.
Just because within the RFP, it doesn't really explain what the UND corridor is. Like, there's no explanation of its use over the past 25 years, or so then if they're going to re-examine work to date, are they going to ask for it, and can they get the studies that have already been done?
You may even want to consider putting that back in the number one in purpose, because that can have a 1.1 and 1.2, which is the background. And if you wish to include that, whatever summary you give me, I will be happy to put in there. So, yes, that can go in there.
But, and those studies are available to them or not? I mean, is that something that we would decide?
We could decide to make them
public.
Yeah, they're public information.
Right.
I have Dave, unless you change your mind. Dave, then Manna, then Herb.
Yeah, there's with the scope of work, I think we should be working on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
You know, and thank you so much. As always, you do a wonderful job, and we really do thank you. You make our lives so much easier.
Well, you're quite welcome, sir.
What I'd like to do is take a look at the scope of work. I mean, there's a number of things that, I don't know if it has to be. It's sort of like we should be determining the economic impact of the railroad, the trail with high-speed bikes, mountain bikes, and or pedestrians, and a rail with trail by segments of the corridor. Cost of restoring the rail, building trail, and alternate and parallel corridors for trail use. Because, I mean, I know, like, for instance, John Barrett, he points out many times he felt that Fells that the trail actually should not parallel, it may be shifted out to 28. The recommended best long-term generational plan for optimum economic feasibility for the corridor.
Okay.
But we have to, when we take a look at the consultants, we need a consultant that has done things like this and that have done both rails and with trails, and they also need to chase down what are the grants available for rails, rails with trails, and trails. Which is a lot of grants for both. There's grants for rail with trail, there's grants for just rails, there's grants for trails. But there's a lot of stuff out there that we are not and have not been privy to, because there's only been a push to get trail grants as opposed to both. And in fact, we have ignored rail grants because we own it. The county had to actually apply for that.
Can I ask, are you suggesting that in the scope of work that we are asking the consultants to identify grants? So I'm basically looking for like the equivalent of a grant writer? Or
yeah, in other words, they could be done writing them, but they should be able to chase down the grants that are available or, you know, such available types of grants.
I think my one concern, this is something we're going to all have to kind of go back and forth on today at the table. My one concern is kind of came up at our last meeting is, because I think everything you've brought up is critical, but we're working in a $30,000 budget. So when we start to really expand the scope of work to include everything from chasing down grants to looking into everything to analyzing the segments and telling us what it starts to be, I can imagine a multi-$100,000 contract. I don't know, I assume. I mean, just hearing what the organization for OSI spent, you know, what OSI spent on that organization for, you know, semi-detailed engineering, I don't know, but, and that's something we're going to have to discuss as well. Are we going to put in the $30,000, or at least are we going to include in the RFP the fact that the legislature has already approved $30,000, sort of telegraphing, this is, because Herb, I know last time you brought that up, like, do we want to telegraph it? Carol recommends we put it in. But now I can see the benefits to both. But I also, I question whether or not we're going to really get someone if we super broaden the scope. 1 minute, Lynn, because I have Nana, then Herb, then Lynn. Nana.
Okay. You know, I hear what you're saying, Tracy, and I understand that there's a limitation, but I think there needs to be more specificity. I put together some notes, which I'll be glad to share. This may be too specific, but it's kind of a wish list, and maybe that would be
a good
starting point.
A wish list is great. It's a starting point, exactly.
And the other thing I want to just start with is it makes, for purpose, it makes reference to resolution number 275, which establishes a policy, but it doesn't make reference to the resolution that established the committee that I could find. And
again, I asked Carol just very basically as a sort of a favor to the committee, so we had something to start with, to just plug something in. That's what we need to do here today. This purpose might end up being 3 pages long if we decide to be super specific and talk about the history and talk about why we're here and how we got to this point.
The purpose quotes resolution 155, which starts with...
Right. I see that, for sure. I just don't see it cited.
No, like I said, I took exactly the language that was there, so if it wasn't in the resolution, but it's certainly anything you want in it, I can add.
Yeah, we can say that on such and such a date, resolution 155 was passed, creating this committee to, you know, that can all be there.
Mm-hmm.
As well as, I mean, I asked Fawn for a timeline just to even, because based on Carol's suggestion last time, at the last meeting, we talked about the possibility of including some history. I mean, assuming that someone who's reading this knows nothing, I think you'd want to include that the county purchased the railroad for $1.5 million on such and such a date, that we contracted, established a contract with DMRR, a private company, to operate on the line, and just the sort of basic big steps on how we got here and why we're even asking for this look or reexamination of the information that's out there. Nana, did you have more?
However you want to handle this, but I just want to reiterate, I think, what Dave was getting at in terms of the importance of the, you know, I don't know if it's going to be a specific qualification, but the importance of the consultant having knowledge of rail trails, railroads, rail with trail. I think that to me, so that, you know, if they happen to it's particularly here in New York, because I think that around the country, there's more experience with rail, with trail, mm-hmm. and I just want to be sure that if we're going to get the objective reevaluation, mm-hmm. that they have some credentials in that direction. And then I put together a list of things. I keep making notes on things that are outstanding. And I had mentioned this last time, and I was reminded reading the minutes. I feel like in addition to an ability to do an economic analysis of the various options, and it doesn't have to be an engineering report, but it does need, they do need to have the ability to look at the economics objectively. But also to review the legal questions. And that's not to question the veracity of the attorney that the county has hired, but just, you know, someone who has enough experience that they can look and say, yes, this is true in this case, but in this case it might not be, or whatever. Mm-hmm. So those were key points. How much or little we're going to agree to integrate, I don't know, but I wanted to at least open the discussion.
Okay. Let's Herb, you had a comment, and then once we get all the comments, we can start going through your notes.
Well, I can backtrack a little bit.
Okay.
I think this is a good start. Just to get back to the committee on one thing, I looked for a couple of hours trying to find that information that I talked. I couldn't find it. I know I have it. It's in a box somewhere. I went through the stuff when I cleaned up my office, but it's not in those boxes, but I will come across it. But I'll give you just a gist of what it was. At the DOT, there was no limit on the number of pages for an RFP. At the Thruway Authority, they got smart. It's 3 pages, limited to 3 pages. When we scored those consultants for the various projects, and this was from a $50,000, $80,000, $100,000 project to a $1.6 billion project. One thing that I think is key, and I don't see in your scope of service, is their understanding. That helps weed out the consultant firms pretty quickly. If they regurgitate what we put out in the RFP, in my mind, we control points. Because I want to know what they understand that their assignment is. So understanding the project, it was on a 6-point system, 1 through 6. Or 1 through 7. Anyway, experience of the firm. What is their experience in this type of work? Have they done it before? Experience of the personnel they're going to assign to the project, I think, is very important. The key personnel that they were going to put on the project or dedicate to this project, when we weighted that with a factor of 2, all of the other were like 0 to 6. This column was 0 to 12. So you can get extra points. Familiarity with the firm has with the area, because you can get a California firm to come in here and write a real nice RFP, and they'll know the first thing about it. One other thing was current workload. With the other agencies, they wanted to know what the workload, that they're not stretching themselves too thin. And they can't remember what the first thing. Getting back to the scope of the project, I think we talked about all along that we wanted a very high-level feasibility study for rail in the corridor, because I think that will answer and put the operator rail in this corridor. And it may be feasible in areas and not in others. Then I think we need to attain a mid-level feasibility for the corridor for the best use, i.e. economic development for the area, which is stated. And also, whether rail with trail or rail and trail is feasible, because that'll help us going down the road as we look to the future. Just 2 cents on identifying the dollar value of the RFP, consultants work to a dollar value, and then everything that you ask for above and beyond that is extra. So it'll be $30,000 plus. If we don't tell them what it is and let them tell us what they're going to supply us, I think we stand a little better.
And what do we do when the first consultant asks, what's your budget for this project?
Well, with the state, we would, you would say it's between $1 and $4 million, or it's between $20,000 and $70,000. You can give them a range, but I wouldn't give them a hard number. I mean, they can certainly, if they want to do their due diligence, go look up one resolution 155, and it states an error up to $30,000. But that'll let me know who did their homework.
Okay. It was to that point specifically experience that you both may have had with a prescribed number or not, and do people pretty much submit to that?
I would say yes, they do.
Does it then limit what in fact they say they're going to do, which is the
probably to some degree, absolutely.
Which is not a bad way of looking at it.
I mean, there's a potential with your scope to, if you're not putting in a budget. I mean, I guess if you're putting in a 20 to 70, and I guess there's a potential to get a bunch of in near 70, right? And then what happens then? But
well,
I guess that's something that we can.
No, go ahead. You can go ahead.
My fear is you define your scope very well, and then as a committee we say, well, we want to know, how many bicycles use that corridor on a regular basis? And they say, well, that wasn't in your original scope. We'll do that for another $8,000. And then you get scope creep, which could double the size of the contract.
I think it defines in the RFP that any addendums, you know, they have to, that's at their expense. They're
if
not
it's within the scope.
No. I think that refers to addendums that we put out with the RFP.
Right.
This only talks about preparing the RFP. It has nothing to do with a contract after it's awarded.
Okay. We should be talking about the RFP.
Yeah.
Do you want to start with since Mana put something on paper? I mean, we're all looking at it for the first time, but it's always helpful to have something on paper. You want to start with Mana's, what Mana's passed around?
Before you discuss it, I wanted to, because this is kind of lengthy and involved, I just wanted to give you my opinion on, I kind of like the fact that there wasn't a lot of information in the RFP because it's almost like a clean slate and that there are no expectations. We're not steering consultants one way or another. That's always been my fear. It's easy to look at a report, let's just say for the trail, and improve on that and not do anything else. With that said, let's go over this. But I like the fact that it was just basically kind of clean, and it didn't reference exactly what we wanted, rail or trail, or rail only or trail only, you know, because there might be a consultant that had an idea that's totally different than both of those ideas and may have an extreme economic benefit to the county. So I think if we define those, then we might be missing out on another opportunity.
If you don't define it, then what do you get? I think we try to define what we want more closely, and move that way.
Yeah, I
mean, that's what this does, and, you know.
I like the way that Carol worded it last meeting. You brought it up again. I mean, I think we have to define what our problem is. In order to say what we're asking for help with. I mean, I think if not, if we keep it too open, I know what you're saying, but I think if we keep it too open, it's not going to have the effect that you're hoping in terms of, someone, because I don't think we're out there fishing for just kind of, let's see what someone has to tell us. Like, we know very specifically what we've been tasked to do. It's a very broad thing that probably is very underfunded in terms of getting a consultant, but we have to find a way to let any potential consultant know specifically what it is we need help with. That might, you know, it might change. I mean, that, and I would expect that it's not going to color what they're coming back with exactly. Dave, did you want to say something?
No.
Okay. Mark?
And there is an alternate proposal section in the RFP,
mm-hmm.
So if they have a better mousetrap, they can present that.
Yeah. Or a better way of doing something than we might expect exactly.
My only quick thought is that you're all going to get these proposals, and you're going to get a stack, hopefully, of multiple proposals. You're going to have to go through, and you're going to have to compare them. Mm-hmm. So you do want to be comparing apples to apples and not, if it's too broad, how are you going to compare this proposal to this proposal to this proposal?
That's why I like the 3 pages. Because you can build a novel and lose all the detail.
Oh, we get, yeah.
And it sounds really nice. But if you tell them they got 3 pages, they pare everything down. Pare them, it's much easier to compare.
Folks, just having been through only one of these processes, seeing multiple RFPs for the auditors, it's what you described, a lot of the language is sitting back, kind of boilerplate language in different places in the proposal, but you can find similar paragraphs from proposal to proposal to proposal. Which is why when something is different, it really stands out.
When you get a 50-page proposal and there's 43 submissions.
Easily. You're going to ask, yes, that's true.
With
okay.
A lot of extra verbiage that isn't necessary.
Okay, let's look at what Manna took the time, thank you, to put something together on paper. Let's start with this, and we'll go from there. Manna, do you want to talk us through it?
Well, the qualifications, I think I mentioned that they must have a demonstrated record of experience in determining economic impact of tourist passenger and freight railroads, and freight is in there because of the rail banking issue, and trails and rails with trails, or rail with trails. The consultant must also have experience in cost estimating for repair or railroad construction of trails and also construction of rail with trails. So, I think the more we can clarify what it is we're looking for, the easier it's going to be to evaluate the responses. Under qualifications.
Let's talk about that. Let's stop and talk. So anyone have any comments on that? Qualifications?
No, I think it's good. I like it.
I think that my only question, Manna, is the freight railroads. And I understand why you put it in because of the rail banking, but do we really want a consultant who's going to determine the economic impact of freight railroads when freight railroads are not at all what we're talking about exploring?
Again,
the legal logistics of freight for rail banking, as I understand it, and as a sidebar, I did speak to the county attorney, and after this we will have the opportunity to speak with the attorney, the expert, and I'll coordinate with her. I wanted to get through the RFP first. But my understanding is that the language of freight has to do with preserving that right. Like, I don't think we're actually looking to explore the opportunity of freight railroad on the corridor in reality.
Just looking at the long-term view, if if rail banking is put into place, the only way, as I understand it, if a decision were made to have a trail and rail banking was put into place in case, and the only way that could be brought back is through a freight railroad.
No. I think that's a misunderstanding, and maybe we can get clarification, but I understand it as the language of the freight railroad is the mechanism by which it's preserved. But that the right for the rail is preserved.
Operation of a freight for at least a short period of time.
So I'm coming back. So you're saying that if we were to rail bank, that we'd have to operate as a freight railroad to utilize the corridor? That never was my understanding.
That's the way you have to do it for an order.
I think it's two separate issues. We don't need to study the rail banking.
No, we don't.
So,
well, we do need
why
to know something about it, because otherwise...
Well, let her finish, Dave, and then...
Carter.
But that's what... There's a separate... So if we just take out the words passenger and freight and just say railroad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we really don't want to put out a document that says... consultant comes back and says freight in this corridor is not feasible economically because there's no one who wants to ship freight.
That could hurt our...
Or cost-wise because it'll cost $800 million to restore to a freight condition.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we do that, then we lose our rail banking because we paid a consultant to tear it apart. So why don't we let the rail banking be handled by the legal people that are already...
And strike that
why
language.
Take that out of our $30,000? The county's already paying for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then just stick to... Just say, and even take out tourist, passenger, and freight, and just say economic impact of railroad, trails, and rails with trails.
Yeah.
And we're not
limiting
ourselves,
true.
And we're not putting a nail in the coffin.
Any other thoughts on that? I think that's an excellent suggestion.
I'm fine with that. The one place, number six below, I think we might want to revisit that for another reason. But in terms of a consultant qualification, impact of economic demonstrates experience in determining the economic impact of railroads, trails, and rails with trails, and the rest of that is fine.
Okay. So let's move on to your notes for scope of work for consultants.
And I think I might, if I could just, for our understanding, I used the phrase points of contention, but I don't think that should actually be language in the... But, these were some of the issues that I thought were pretty specific.
Okay, let's go through the bullets then.
Okay.
Well,
so,
can we just maybe just change it to just read, what is it, 39 corridor with differing views as to how best to use.
Great.
Where are you inserting that line exactly?
Just, instead of the, in the first sentence. Just kind of the scope of work. We have this corridor
with different views
on how to best use it. Our current policy states trail with rail segmented. We have the new proposal that looks at Kingston as a potential rail with trail. So, I think that's part of what we say is...
In the history, I think that goes to the history, to back to section
I think
one.
It's part of the scope. I mean, aren't those all the things that we're going to be looking at?
Well, you could put that
in the history.
An introduction of
why we're doing... Okay.
And then our task is the best use of this corridor.
Right.
So, why even tie their hands and tell them... any specifics. The scope of the work is to directly address the best use of this 38 point whatever it is corridor for whatever use, which may include rail, trail, and or rail.
Getting before just main is to inspect and evaluate to determine what would be the highest and best use considering
your legal background. Come on.
Would you define the word highest?
Highest and best use is the one that yields the most economic benefit.
Okay.
But I think, and again, we have to remember, when we talk, we can't strictly talk about economic benefit. That's come up before, because I think there are values when we talk about the trail, and I don't know how you
benefit,
check
yeah.
it, but health benefits and quality of life benefits, are very important, interconnecting communities. So I don't think we want to make this strictly a dollars and cents evaluation, because that's a different thing, and those numbers get called into question from any which way too. We want that as a part of it, but is part of a holistic approach.
Let's not limit them and just say the best use of the car.
Right. No, I liked your language. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Including, that's a major thing, but it's something we want.
Yeah.
Well, can we say including economic development, health, and quality of life?
Yeah.
Then it's in that way inclusive.
Sure.
Sparrow?
Okay, Nana, let's go through your bullets in the scope.
To review the documents related to the Ulster and Delaware Corridor plans by Ulster County, the Catskill Mountain Railroad, because they submitted plans, business plans, and others suggested by this by committee members. Then to determine economic impact, that may be too strong a language, but at least estimate or evaluate the economic impact of the railroad, the trail, and to accommodate hikers and other pedestrians, mountain or high-speed bicycles, and rail with trail by segment of the corridor. I think that was in suggested last meeting, including issues related to accessibility for a wide range of users.
Mm-hmm. I think estimate better than determine, probably. I think your change was good.
Instead of determine, estimate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, for number three, I would say to take out the be able to estimate, because be able to is really a qualification,
mm-hmm.
but in terms of scope of work, estimate and evaluate.
Mm-hmm.
Cost of restoring rail, building a trail, including above uses, and building rail with trail by segment of the corridor.
Building trail by above use? What does that mean by above use?
It's just including the above use.
Oh, number two.
I was listening to number two.
And then,
and is this using the data we already have available? It's not going out and reinventing what we already have. I mean, we have some of these. Maybe it's, drilling down a little bit more to get a better understanding, but this is huge. Number three is a big...
It's a big nut.
And we have...
Why is that? That's...
To validate how you're estimating, what you're estimating, to have a good sense versus just the back of the envelope, it's not a simple task.
But I think, one thing, just to your point, trail by segment of the corridor, aren't we charged with looking at the entire 38 miles? And why would we want to, we're telling them to look at it in segments.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But why don't we let that consultant look at the entire 38 miles?
They are, but they're going to do it by segment. In other words, have the opinion that the railroads should go from Kingston to a certain point, and then it turns into a trail, others feel that out, and so on and so forth. And we're trying to look at each.
And all studies to date have done it by segment. And if we build it, we'll probably build it by segment. So it's
but I think you might want to just put out that you're looking at the entire...
Yeah.
Well, that is,
and then determine...
Right.
Jim, my thinking was...
It sounds like you're just telling them how to do it.
Yeah, and I agree to de-emphasize that, but my thinking is that whatever the final solution is, that it be, and I think we've talked about this, that it be implemented in segments. What's the low-hanging fruit for the best return on investment? And then what could be done next? So I'm fine with, if others are, with taking out the by segment. And just to get back to what Lynn said, Number one is to review the documents, to drill down. But I think that it should be the existing documents and any others that we as a committee want the consultant to review. And as a committee, we're not going to vote for something that's really onerous, and there's going to be limits to what they're willing to do for $30,000. But for number three, maybe we can tweak that a little so that it's more reasonable.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, it as I read it, it sounds like the person's going out and has to pull all this data together to help evaluate and cost out rail and building and all that. And what we have in a lot of different data points is a lot of information, and it's synthesizing that information, bringing it to the table in a way that we can all agree, you know, and or ask questions about if we're not clear. I don't think we should be reinvented. And I guess that's where I was going when I was looking at it, because I felt like that, you know, we were asking to reinvent. I think we're asking to validate, drill down, ask, you know, for us to be able to ask questions or, you know, help, you know, have a different set of eyes looking at some of the data that we have and helping pull it all together. That's really what I think we should be focused on. Does that make sense?
And yeah. It's defined or in the second bullet there. Why not just open it up and say estimate and evaluate costs associated with the best use of the corridor instead of rail with trail,
mm-hmm.
putting the rails back, you know, just estimate the costs of the best use of the corridor.
And
evaluate the best use of the corridor, maybe. I mean, that would leave it up to them. If they wanted to do all that, then they could, and if they didn't, they would just take their approach or their alternative approach.
But if they think the best use of the corridor is a strip mall,
that'd be a hell of a strip mall.
To lend some reality to it, when a consultant gets a task like this, they always go back and look and see what studies have been done.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to recreate the wheel. But they will go out and do an assessment by section or by within the corridor. They'll come up with a typical section, and that's how they'll price out the estimate. So they'll start, we got 1.1 miles of this. They're going to do that by every 100 feet. This, for this 100 feet, is $21,000. Replicate that 30 times. It's not like they're going to walk every single foot and say, all right, from here to here, it's going to cost this much. How much from here to here? They're going to come up with five or six different typical sections and the cost per unit per typical section, and then that's how they're going to run the numbers.
Mm-hmm. Just on number three, if it started with based on a review of the above literature studies or whatever the right word, studies, estimate and evaluate, well, we could use one word or the other, I don't know that we need both, the cost of restoring trail, restoring rail, building trail, and you wanted to say for the best. What was the language for that? Or highest and best use? Does that go there?
I don't know if we want to limit him to that, because if you say the highest and best use, and he comes up with something like building a resort at Bel Air.
No, highest and best use focusing on recreational activities associated with rail, trail.
I don't know if we want to limit them to using the materials we give them, because some of that stuff's outdated. By all means, we want them to look at it. But I know if my firm ran an estimate, we use somebody else's numbers, the first thing I'm going to say is, you gave me the numbers, and all I did was go through the numbers, crunch the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to have them have some ownership, too, because if they base it only on what work was done before, if that work wasn't good,
don't expect to get something good out the other end. So I think they need to review all documentation and then formulate their own estimate.
The point is that some of the studies, the later studies, were done with a purpose to support a trail, or supporting a trail. So that's why I'd like to rather see some new eyes on this than actually the organics. And as legislator gets pointed out, they'll use the information. Obviously, they're going to be looking to come up with information of their own.
Task number one is to review all that documentation.
Right.
So I find it highly unlikely that they would review it and not use it.
Maybe to the point you made, it's formulate a point of view to estimate and evaluate costs of. So that's kind of putting it on.
How do you
create the ownership?
You just say estimate and evaluate the cost.
Okay.
That becomes theirs.
Okay.
So if we're looking at three, if it says estimate and evaluate cost of restoring rail, building trail, and building rail with trail, do we want to say by segment of corridor or no? No.
Well, throughout the corridor by segments.
Yeah, throughout the corridor.
Throughout the corridor by segments.
Well, you may want to insert estimate and evaluate the cost for the corridor, which may include.
Well, there's the room for an alternate plans. I don't know. I'm not sure that we want to open this up to the concept of anything beyond rail, trail, or rail with trail. I mean, at this point,
I guess
it could be anything. But
are you on to number four?
No, we're still on three.
Three. Okay.
Walmart, right at Raleigh Mountain Road.
They're going to stick pretty close to the center line.
Okay, so if we go throughout the corridor by segments, and back to one for a moment, review documents related to UND corridor. Can we make the language including but not limited to plans by Ulster County, CMRR, and others suggested by UDCAC members?
Yes.
Just to simplify and keep it. Okay.
Can I ask how much documentation is there?
Is this a lot?
Not that high.
Yeah, a lot.
Okay.
A lot. And then for number two, just a quick review, we have estimate the economic impact. Are we putting in the language health and quality of life issues of the railroad, the trail to accommodate hikers and other pedestrians, blah, 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 and rail with trail, including issues related to accessibility for a wide range of use. Mm-hmm. We're losing by segment of corridor for that one. Okay. And then we're at three with estimate and evaluate costs of restoring rail, building trail, and building rail with trail throughout the corridor by segment. We can polish this, too, if we need. But mm-hmm. Okay, now moving on to number four.
On four, the thinking was that just to include alternative parallel corridors, not the entire corridor, but that there might be places where it might be easier to move the trail than the rail if it's determined that the rail should be maintained. Just my thinking was in very constricted corridors to include some language. The way it reads, and I apologize for that, it sounds like two totally separate parallel corridors, and that's not my intention.
Yeah, my thought on this is just that it gives, and I'm seeing it for the first time, but just my quick thoughts is that it gives an undue weight to that possibility. And again, leaving things open for them, like I'd sooner strike that entirely. And,
yeah. And we've said it earlier.
And
yeah,
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 I'm fine.
I think that's a really
part of rail with trail. I mean, that's what we're talking
about. It's an important part to know that there could be alternatives about, rather than just having the rail with trail directly, that mm-hmm. sometimes it needs to move off. And in fact, so-called compromise, which of course wasn't a compromise, but that moves it, and at that point it gets moved totally away and goes on to the other corridor and comes out and comes back around. So that is an alternate route instead of being right on the railroad. And there could be other alternatives. alternate routes on like 28 and things of that nature. Very usual. And probably better for a trail overall anyway, safer and, you know, like early down the road.
Mm-hmm.
The trail there is quite safe because it's out in the open. You know, some people can travel.
But isn't that part of railway trail? That's what I'm confused. I think that, just to your point earlier, I mean, I feel like that's already part of Railway Trail. It's already part of the discussion of compromise. Like, why do we have to specify it as a separate look?
There are other areas that have not been looked at all to do that.
Yeah.
I agree with Tracy. I think it should be stricken because basically we're just alternate parallel corridors. For trail use, you're saying that the rail is going to go here, move the trail.
Yes, and that's the whole idea.
We're getting that while we're getting that independent review.
Her has a potential compromise. Okay, let's hear Herb's potential compromise. Let's not argue. Let's hear Herb's potential compromise.
Spots that are much better for moving it totally away from it.
Dave, let's hear what Herb's potential compromise is.
Well, what I was going to say is review the feasibility of parallel corridors for trail use in some. You have an area here in Kingston where you have the rail, and you have in other places that may not be feasible. You're a long way from anywhere you could put it, or Route 28 is not the best place in this area. It's narrow, whatever. They look at the feasibility of parallel corridors for trail use in some segments. They're not looking at everything. It's where it might be feasible.
I get what you're saying, but again, I think it's a point of view. When I thought what we were trying to do is to get some of the point of view that, you know, the fact is that we have a corridor, we believe it can be used for multiple uses, and that's what we're investigating. When we start to get a little prescriptive like that, then we're focusing in a direction of, you know, what should be considered. I think we're considering all should be looked at. I don't know. I feel like that's a little prescriptive. It's assuming that you're going to have one or the other, yes, in one part or not. And I think for both points of view, it's better to just leave it open, saying we've got this corridor. We're looking at it from a rail perspective, a trail perspective, a rail with trail. We've addressed what everybody's saying in that statement.
I think, though, you've touched on something, and it just hit me in that language that Herb suggested and that you're using is feasibility. Because here we're reviewing the documents, and one, we're looking at the economic impact, and two, we're economic health and quality of life impact, and two, we're looking at the cost. But really what I feel like is missing right now is the feasibility of rail with trail, mm-hmm. or trail, taking into consideration health, quality of life, economic impact, and cost.
And
legal issues, I guess.
Legal,
yeah.
But also corridor
limitations or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, however we want to word that.
Right.
But,
I mean, I think that's the nuts and bolts of what we're really asking.
Right.
We're asking about feasibility that take into consideration 2 and 3, which is economic impact.
Which will help us to come up with a recommendation.
Right. So, circled around it.
Keep it consistent with that same language. Does that address?
I don't know what you said.
What I'm saying is that up until this point, if we look at 1 through 3, we've talked about 1 is reviewing the documents, 2 is estimating the economic impact, quality of life, and health impacts, and 3 is estimating the cost of repair. But what I think we really need to be doing is estimating the feasibility based on the cost and the economic impact and the health effect and the quality of life impact and limitations such as the one you brought up, places where, okay, we might want a railway trail,
right.
But it would require that the trail move onto the road and there happens to be a parallel thing. That's about feasibility. I'm very much about, don't tell me why we can't do it. Tell me how we can do it, and if we can't do it, tell me specifically why we can't do it. What are the limitations? And if not, what are the costs, period? What are, what's going to make this happen or not happen? So for me, ultimately, we're talking about feasibility, economic impact about feasibility, because it plays back, and quality of life about feasibility, because, again, it plays back in a different way, and costs are about feasibility, because we don't have an endless pocket. Yes, first.
So then why don't you go back to the first sentence where it opens up the scope of the work to directly address the feasibility of rail, trail, and railway trail. That the overall overarching task is feasibility.
The optimum, not economic feasibility, the optimum use of the corridor. Not optimum economic feasibility, the optimum use.
Highest and best.
What?
Highest and best use.
Highest and best? Well, what does that mean?
I don't know what you mean.
Maximum, it's the... But who's determined? What's maximum based on what?
Determines
on their study.
No, it's what's going to give you the most economic returns.
But that's not necessarily what's going to be the best thing. Do you mean that's the point? It's like, it's not just a, it's, we're not just...
It's not about the money.
It's not only about the money. Only about the money. And I mean that on all ways. Mm-hmm. Like, again, it's like, if something's going to cost a tremendous amount of money, but it's going to bring a tremendous reward, be it money or quality of life, like, there are people who would argue for it. So, to me, it's not just about the money. I don't think we should limit. But I don't know, highest and best. I mean, it sounds good, but I just don't know what it means. So we're still on four. We changed the feasibility in the beginning, but we're still on four.
The one thing about feasibility is, you know, there's a definition. If it's just you want to know the feasibility of something, and then you can have a feasibility report. And a feasibility report is all about money. That's basically the reason why you would do a feasibility report. It has nothing to do with health or wellness of the population. So I think we got to be careful with the language there because, you know, feasibility just in and itself is capable of being used or dealt with successfully. You know, I mean, capable of being accomplished or brought about. That doesn't mention anything about the health and welfare of people or economic impacts or anything. And then if you do a feasibility study, it has everything to do about, you know, cost-benefit analysis and I just looked up because I didn't understand how we're using it in this context. The feasibility of, and then if you're going to say health benefits, economic benefits, quality of life,
cost,
it's going to cost a lot of money to get this study.
I think it's feasibility so many, is the highest and best use. It's really not the feasibility of
one of the
we can build it or the cost or anything else.
I think highest and best use wraps in a lot of things. That by definition, it's legally permissible, economically feasible, physically possible. You know, that's all part of having a highest and best use of a property. It can be a great idea. It may not be legally permissible.
Right. And we may have that in parts of the corridor. I mean, okay. The determination of the optimum, of the highest and best use of the UND corridor, objectively, and in the best interest of the people of Western County.
What is that?
That's still the scope of work. No, that's
It's
like the first sentence. Okay, so where are we with four?
Thank
you.
Out.
Well, I think we were split on it. I think it should be out because I agree that I feel like it prescribes one thought, but I'm open to hearing, and I don't know where the rest of the committee falls on that. And that doesn't also, it doesn't mean that it's not going to come up. We're not going to ask for that as far, you know, I would assume. But just asking it as a bullet.
I think now that we've kind of refined the opening part of the scope of work to highest and best use, and including but not limited to, and looking at rail, trail, and rail with trail, I think we've kind of addressed that, you know, the potential of number four. But have we used the term feasibility? Because that's what...
Yeah, we put it into the beginning.
Maybe if you include that parallel part in part three in some way or form.
We're starting now. Go move your... I mean,
Oh, you're talking about going on. Okay.
The ONW as opposed to the UND.
So, Dave, you're saying in number three, estimate to evaluate cost of restoring rail, building trail, and building, which we actually should be converting to trail, and building rail with trail, including the possibility of alternate parallel corridors for trail use throughout the corridor by segment. Is that what you're saying?
That'll work.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's better because it's I like the word possibility and it doesn't prescribe it as an absolute. What does everybody think about that?
Well, it's fine. I mean, but it presents all the other issues attached to parallel corridors and, you know, the same land to use issues and stuff. So I think that's fine. It better describes it.
Okay. Jim? Okay, number five. Recommending,
I'm going to say something about five.
Sure, go ahead.
Having done all this, I'm not sure that we should, let me read it, but recommend the best long-term, you know, multi-generational plan to obtain the optimum economic feasibility of the corridor. I'm not sure that on second thought that we want the consultants to do that recommendation. I think we want them to help us.
Help facilitate formulation of,
So strike that.
Or help, you know, the Ulster Delaware CAC to recommend. But I don't know whether we need it at all.
I think it's contained in part of other things we've said, so
exactly.
I think we can strike it. Yeah. Okay, number six. Yeah, do you want to?
And this one I feel pretty strongly about, that they understand the legal issues related to rail and trail planning and implementation. And again, that's actually more of a qualification and scope of work, but...
Right, that's a qualification.
Yeah.
And it's not to discredit the work that's already being done, but I feel the need for an independent review.
Well, if they don't understand, they don't give them a good opinion. If they don't understand the difficulties that we're facing, they could not...
I would just understand legal issues related to rail and trail planning and implementation, including rail banking and easements.
Yeah, that's fine.
And that would move into the qualification section. Okay. Special consideration must be made by the consultants for the following issues. You want to talk us through your thoughts on this matter?
Yeah, I don't know how much of this detail we need, but these are some of the things that have been discussed that I've made notes about. So I put them in here. There may be others. I think there's a balance between leaving all possibilities still on the table, but also getting them to focus. So I don't know how people feel about these. That one bullet about existing corridor challenges, that's all it is, just existing corridor challenges.
The whole corridor is an easement. There's no sense in giving special consideration for a short canvas or easement. The whole corridor is our easement.
Well, don't we own some outright? We own a lot.
All right,
well,
we own some of that one.
West of PA.
Yeah.
Okay, like in Kingston?
No, not in Kingston, in the western portion.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I think it just complicates it. Because then they're going to have to read the agreement and go back and read the original agreement. When was that signed? 1911?
I think it does complicate it to a little degree in that I don't want to scare people away, especially if they do their due diligence to see what our budget appears to be. I think we want to keep them focused on feasibility and helping us focus our work, helping us reach our goal, which is to make a recommendation. These are certainly things we can bring up to them. And if you want to go through the list one at a time, if there's something you think that we should include, we can. Lynn?
I think a lot of these are kind of what I would call parking lot. These are things that should be out there. We should be on our radar as we're talking about things as a kind of check-in. Because I think they're all important things, but that should come up in the course of conversation about a lot of the consideration of the corridor use and what some of the challenges are. Because I think these are a good indication of all the things that we've all been talking about.
Right.
But as far as what you would give to a consultant, I'm not sure this is.
There are two that I might want to pull out. I mean, some of them I think are really implied and are already in the document. But from my perspective, you know, part of the economics is grant availability, but that may be implied. And the other is access. I think we did actually include access.
Where is access? Where is access?
Handicapped. Oh, access access issues. The third up from the bottom. Accessibility. Mm-hmm. What about review of the rail, the trail? It's kind of implied.
No.
Yeah, that is kind of implied. As long as, you know, we keep sort of keep a record of this. I'm not sure that it has to be in the RFP, but these are some of the
things we've talked about. I think they're good. I think they're valuable.
Could they be something that instead of saying special consideration must be made, but maybe something of that nature, so they know maybe some ideas that we're looking at. In other words, they're going to, in other words, it's not, but it's tying their hands down.
What kind of like
some things? Considerations.
These are things that are part of the discussion as we look at this?
Yeah, well, you can do that, yes, part of the discussion. Yeah, then maybe you just put it like that. In other words, there's been much discussion on the following items, and then throw them and put them out there. That's part of the history, I don't know. What do you, in other words, something of that nature?
I don't like the word consideration, to be honest with you.
To me, the bottom, excuse me, this conflicts with a lot of what's up on top, only because if he's only going to look at a segment, then how do you know where you're going to put the senior access, the, you know, all of the, you know, trailheads, the parking stations, when you're only looking at a typical 2 miles? You follow what I'm saying? They're going to have to evaluate the entire and see a plan.
My personal opinion is you put this in a similar to a white paper and give part of the documents where we say other suggested look at works.
To the person who's awarded the...
And not put it in the RFP,
mm-hmm.
because if I look at this and I say I got to give special consideration to the... I see dollar signs of the things I need to have special consideration to. And it really detracts from our task.
We're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
It's a parking lot. These are things that when we get into the meat of it with whoever we select, these are things we should be talking about in the context of everything else we're talking about, not as part of the RFP. That's what you said.
Right. Right. I agree with that.
In other
words, if you make it part of the RFP, it would make it, like you said, what you
want to
do there at that point.
I think we hone in the top part.
Yeah, right. They'll say, okay, these are some of the talking issues. Okay, security issues, yes. you know, they dress up, you know, they'll keep this in the back of their head, you know, mm-hmm. say, as they're doing what they have to do when these things are bothering.
Okay, so
I have one other thought.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than putting it in the scope of work, some of these, maybe not all of them, but to give a flavor of what the key points are, perhaps that could go in the background? Would that make
sense?
Yeah,
that's what Herb said.
No.
Not a white paper pointing out.
I think Herb's talking about giving it to the person who's awarded the contract, not
correct.
In the packet
right.
going
up
out.
Up here where number one it says review documents related to the corridor plans, and then it says, and any other suggested by this committee.
Okay.
So we would do a white paper, and we would say, these are other things, by the way, just look at.
Come
up.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that you know.
And by then we'll have...
And it might be a longer list by then.
A list to prove. Okay.
Okay, so to review what?
I'm just thinking out loud. I win this contract, let's just say.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get handed a list on top of it.
Well, I don't think it's a list of new things to do. It's
a list
of things. This is just information that's out
there. There are things that are it's part of our consideration.
This
we're
is what,
going
yeah.
through everything.
Yeah, it's not saying evaluate
you
like these
all
of
could,
this.
But just these
could
are the
start that out as additional things the committee will consider in making their recommendation to the legislature are listed below.
Mm-hmm.
Consider cognizant.
It's, they have a little more detail.
But they don't have
but
to do
be
anything
too.
With it.
Right.
Just be cognizant of it.
Okay, so what we've gotten to from this is, just to be clear, we have two qualifications to add to the qualification section, which is the first as amended minus tourist, passenger, and freight, and then the understanding legal issues related to rail and trail planning and implementation, including rail banking and easement. Those would both go into qualifications. And then for scope of work, going into this section, if everyone can turn and look at question 10. Okay, so number one, which is straight from the resolution, sets the stage. I think it's fine. I don't know if anyone has a problem with it.
But we, in number one, we will include the reference to...
We get to this. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I think leaving number one is just saying we're going to retain the services of an independent consultant to assist with as a finance committee. It's sort of
okay,
setting
you're
abroad.
In scope of work. I beg your pardon. I was in number
we
one.
We can change that and put the language in here. I don't know. Carol, what do you recommend? Just begin with this, Mark?
What I was going to suggest was, I emailed this to you in
mm-hmm.
Word, right? Why don't you draft a new scope of work?
Okay.
Leaving what you like here.
Okay.
Adding what the committee has agreed with
mm-hmm.
and suggested. Let me review it, see if it fits into what I think it should.
Okay.
I can email it. And all you do, cut and paste that scope of work. Forget the
okay.
rest of it. And I can email it back to you, and you can send it to the rest of the committee for review. But that way, I will get your language that the committee wants. Any of this can come out. Anything
mm-hmm.
you don't like here, you can cut. But I'm actually going to let you take and write that in the way you want it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Otherwise, I write it, you got to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
They got to discuss it. This way, it comes right from you.
Okay, I have Lynn.
Or anyone you nominate.
And then once that's done, do we have to meet again to approve this, or can it be sent to Brown? Because isn't this the only meeting we have this month?
It's mm-hmm. currently the only meeting.
Yeah.
I would love to have something, have us kind of agree to whatever extent, so that we can then get it out.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think I agree in principle at this point. You know, once
yeah.
we see it.
If when you see it, it won't be a vote when you see it on email. It's just if there's a giant problem and someone contacts me, if even one person says,
that is totally not what I thought, then we'll have to call a special meeting. Okay. And we'll have to sit down and hammer it out. If everyone looks at the email, there's no vote, but everybody says we're all right, then we go ahead.
And once you get to that blessed part, you sign off on it, and Mark signs off on it, and then it can go out.
Okay, and I'm probably going to need your help a bit, Herb.
That's what I was going to volunteer. I'll work on it.
Yeah, and I'm going to be, I'm leaving on Thursday, so I'll be available.
With your cell phone?
Yes.
You can be anywhere at any time.
Okay, perfect.
You've got my number.
Yes, thank you, Carol. Okay, so we'll adjust the scope of work, putting in what we have. I think the one thing which we have a lot of information for, Carol, we don't have to... We don't have to really tweak these contract periods or dates yet, because once we have that, you'll be able to start
doing things. That's one of the last things that needs to go in there.
Okay, so that there are a couple other things. We need to make a decision about whether we're going to include the number or not include the number. We need to decide that here today in terms of the $30,000. Yes, ma'am?
Those are something, but I just want to be sure the consultant qualifications that we agreed on.
You're going in the qualification section in here.
Okay.
I'll send that to you, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
You mean like the highest and best?
Yes.
That one? You'll send that.
Sorry, I don't.
A revised as well?
Yeah.
With more background.
Yeah. That's what I was going to answer in a minute.
No, I just wanted...
No, highest and best is in scope of work. Highest and best is in scope of work.
Right,
consultant qualifications are that first paragraph, and the understanding of the legal issues will go into the qualification section.
I don't think we should put a number in.
Okay, yeah, let's take a vote. Who wants to put a number in and who doesn't?
I think we should put something. You know, whether it's 10 to 30,000, you know.
Dave and Herb, can you focus for 1 minute? Because we're talking about the number. I just want to get I want a consensus. I want to know what we're doing because we can't vote over the phone or email. Are we going with a number or are we going with a range? Or are we going with no number? Jim says no number.
I don't want a range.
Carl wants a range. You know, Carl wants a range. Manna?
I'm wondering if it just makes sense to, in the background, we're citing the purpose and we're citing, the formation of the Corridor Advisory Committee. We could quote the resolution. That's up to, we have a budget of up to $30,000. That's what we have. That's the reality.
Well, maybe we could just include it in the RFP, the resolution.
I could do that.
And that would settle it. Like, they're too dumb to figure out how much money we don't have.
Well, the consultant community very happy.
Yeah, I
they'll all come in at 30.
My instinct at first was to include the number just because we have a number, but I give a lot of respect to Herb's comments and the fact that Herb's done this, too, from a different angle. And I also, there's a part of me that wants to see what comes back, even if someone comes back with a fivefold proposal, but somehow they seem so, like, maybe their proposal wakes us up to things we weren't thinking because their detail or their level of their coming back might not just be a number. So I could go either way with the committee. I also feel like there is some value in what Herb said earlier in that people who do their homework are going to see that we have $30,000.
All the state agencies I work for
give a range. Well, Dave, Lynn, you haven't weighed in.
Well, the only problem with a range is that what range do you get?
30
is available. If we need more money, we can go back to the bank. Mm-hmm. It's reality. We have the ability to do that. I'm not saying that we feel like we can get it passed through there or not, but I don't know. But I think, for this corridor is extremely important, and the end result of this corridor is one of the things. So, what if they did? You come up, somebody comes up with $50,000, and they were bankable. I mean, you take a look at college. We end up paying the guy more money than when John Cox was making. But when you were on this committee, there wasn't a everybody on the committee said that they were just like so impressed with it. There wasn't one person, right? So it was worth the money.
So what's your, you think we shouldn't put the number in? Is that what you're saying?
I don't think the, in other words, you could tell them you have presently budgeted $30,000, but it may be more available, and so put a number on it.
What do you usually do? I mean, so
many times there is a budgeted amount, especially if it's a state-funded project, we will put the money in there.
But in a lot of the consulting stuff,
a lot of times you'll have actual,
even though there are times do they submit higher than the budgeted amount?
Very seldom. And
this is why you do it.
You tell them up front, we have $30,000 for you. Mm-hmm. Base what you're going to do for us on that. I even can fear that if you put, we have a budget of $25,000 to $50,000, you're going to get everybody up at $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
I also personally think that if you don't put it in there, they're going to ask. I mean,
But I also know that if it's a state project and the state said it's going to be state inspection and the contractor bids low, you only get 10%. You don't get.
I'd just like to say one other thing. I mean, I'm not an engineer and I don't work a lot with contracts, but this isn't a finite, specific thing like restoring a bridge,
correct,
you know, or paving a road. There's so many variables in this. How can we just ask them to do all their due diligence and then only offer $30,000 when, you know, the lowest ones coming in is maybe $70,000? Then we'd have to go out to RFP again. And then guess what? We will put in the cost. We might as well just put the cost in because there's so many variables on our requirements. I mean, if we go with all the requirements,
they may come back and say, we can do this and this, but we can't do this for that money, right? Have you seen that before?
It's not really responsive. On the RFP?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be an ultimate.
$1 million project or $10 million project.
That every day of the week. I mean, they'll say, design a bridge for Spook Hollow over that's the concept. You design it, you put a dollar value on it.
Put it in.
Put it in. Okay. Yes. Okay. It came around. Okay, we have to revisit a couple things. Herb, earlier you talked about your memories of your scoring sheets.
Yes.
Let's quick look at the scoring, because this does have to, we have to put the scoring into the plan, right?
We don't put the number in. It's not required.
No, not the number, but what we're basing it on.
Right.
It needs to be in
there. Right.
So if we're changing that at all, we need to.
These are so generic.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We can punch them up.
Oh, okay.
We're going to add probably two to the qualification.
Okay. Let's all look through this.
So they know this is what we'll be evaluating.
This is exactly what we're going to evaluate you on,
yes.
A couple things that that Herb brought up that I don't see in here, touched on at all, is familiarity with the area, Herb brought up.
I think a very important one is understanding of the
project. We do have understanding of the
yes.
county's goals and objectives, and you want to add familiarity with Ulster County?
Well, of the project area.
So
you might know a lot about Highland, but that's not going to help a lot.
Okay. Do we need to then define in the beginning exactly where the corridor runs from,
yes.
to and from.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
if you want to add that
yeah.
to your...
You can add a map.
Yeah,
can do that.
Yeah,
you can supply
that. I would like the verbiage somewhere in here in the general portion of the evaluation criteria. Just say that your narrative shall include the understanding of the project, the experience of your firm,
I want you to go back to.
Do you have their experience with projects?
General guidelines. No, that's where it tells them. Don't tell me what I just Don't spit it back at me. Don't compare to original. Submittal contact and format, number 9. Qualifications and experience, history of the company, provide examples of how changes, and again, this might get changed a little bit. Identify all personnel assigned to the project and attach resume, free references. I mean, and then the general plan. And again, this could be made a little bit more specific. This is the boilerplate.
Yep. As long as we cover those points.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to base my evaluation.
Okay.
And I really don't, I want to make sure they know what I'm going to evaluate.
So can we just say those?
Yep.
It's just a few.
Understanding of the project. Experience of the firm. Or of your firm's personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Key personnel proposed. Familiarity of the firm with the project area. And you can skip the current workplaces. You probably don't have any work with.
The one that's not in there, Herb, is the familiarity with the area. The rest you can find.
Yep, we're in the evaluation.
In evaluation. Yeah.
Understanding
your
practices?
Well, understanding of the county's goals and objectives. You want to change the language?
And I'm adding familiarity with the project area.
Okay. Yeah. I would like to say the county's goals and objectives of this project.
Responder understands proposal objectives and minutes of the county and offers a program that will meet or achieve the county's objectives.
According to the county's goals. So we're not looking to that part of it. We want them to come up with eyes and say, no, wait, the county's already went on record, and somebody want to do this, so we'll just go along with that. And everybody's happy.
I'm confused with, okay, so instead of understanding, Herb, do you want to change this? And understanding of
what, in section
2? No.
Section
7.
Yeah. I mean,
evaluation criteria.
Responder understands and proposal addresses the needs of the county and offers the plan that will meet or exceed the county's, and I can even put the legislator's objective.
The committee.
I would actually like to see this committee meeting.
Yeah. It's the committee's objective.
Responder understands and proposal addresses the needs of the UND Corridor Committee and offers a program that will meet or exceed the UND Corridor Committee's stated objectives.
The Kane County Tool Committee.
Right. The idea of this is, to me, is for us to decide what the goals should be. Mm-hmm. You know, what are the policies that we should not, what we already have, what we should be doing? And maybe what we should be doing, I don't know.
Okay, and then really the last thing that's going to need adjustment, which I feel like we're probably reaching the end of focus for tonight, but we can work on it, but... is number 1 is purpose, because I think we're going to have to flesh out the history a little bit more. We will include a map. That's a good suggestion.
Well, the purpose is stated right on Mary's the most appropriate development.
No. I think you're talking about something. I'm talking about number 1 purpose in the RFP, which really is sets the stage as a historical.
We could leave the purpose as I have it written, which comes from 155,
right?
And then go 1.2 and put some background in there.
Okay,
that would be my recommendation.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And take out the resolution 275.
I can do that.
Because that's a policy statement, basically stating what the county wants.
Okay.
And that's not what necessarily the committee's looking at.
Establishes Ulster County College for St. Louis.
Why would you take that out? It's already,
it's the first sentence of the resolution 155. Yes.
That's predetermined, so well, we're true.
Well, this is, but that's the challenge, right?
Mark and I will take a look at it, or you can rewrite it.
If you use Manna's language too, we could change it to, you know, to pursuant to resolution number 155, referring to what created us, you know, Ulster County, the Ulster and Delaware Corridor Advisory Committee is charged with conducting a thorough reexamination of the work to date, and
determine the most appropriate.
Right, and making a recommendation to the legislature.
Highest and best use.
So when you send up the draft, changes in scope and everything else.
And again, pretty much so I can cut and paste.
Okay.
I don't mind typing and.
But I do think we need that 1.2 background, especially when we're asking and going to be judging people on their knowledge of the area and their ability to address all our concerns. We want to lay out a sort of basic history, big steps. When the county purchased the corridor, you know, the lease with CMRR, what's happened, what the key resolutions are that we've that's gotten us to right here, and that's about it. And the map would be helpful.
You want me to take a crack at it and send it to you?
Yeah, I would love that. Okay. I'm going to make Herb a point person as well. So copy Herb on everything to me.
Yeah.
Do you want to send what about the rest of them?
It's going to go to the whole thing. Sure, yeah.
Here, if you need to get a hold of me, thank you.
And again, everybody's going to get
the draft. No, I sent it to Tracy, and she emailed it to her.
Electronically? Do you have it in Word format? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think it was in Word format.
I printed it out.
And then everybody, again, just to reiterate, everyone will get a draft of what we have, and because we can't vote via email or over the phone, if anyone has a major problem, please contact myself and Herb, and we'll have to call another meeting. But if we can move, if without absent major problems, we're going to get this out.
We'll all be here next Tuesday.
All except for me. Yeah.
If you need to.
I will be here via electronic.
Oh, you're going to do the Skype thing?
You're Skyping in?
You can't fit in the
committee meeting, which you can't vote in the committee meeting.
Next Tuesday's session.
I know.
I'm not. There's no committee meeting.
Okay, I thought that's what he was talking about.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
suggest if we need it, if we do this week, and we need to have a meeting, we're all here next Tuesday.
Yeah, you can have a special meeting without me, for sure.
Before the session or after the session.
Yeah.
But if you're not going to be here.
That's fine. You can do it without. You can do it without.
I was just saying you can listen in, and you can.
Yeah.
You can
leave the
conference room, but you just can't.
No, I know that.
So.
I'm going to
clean this up and take some typos out.
Can you please
send I'll send that around.
Yeah, can you get it to us electronically as soon as possible? Because I have a lot of notes on what we agreed on, but it would help me.
It was very helpful.
It was very helpful.
Good starting point.
Thank you for putting that in writing. And Charles, thank you for giving us this in writing. Because beginning.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And thank you both for taking your time to be here tonight. We really appreciate it. Okay, so we do have a couple of things on the agenda.
He's never
going to
live
like that.
It's like a real thing.
It's
like a real thing.
Okay, everyone focus for one more minute. Okay, so we had on the agenda a review of the corridor walk.
It was great.
Okay, so we had on the agenda review of Friday, June 26th, which was canceled Saturday. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay, so I want to, if everybody has the stop. I think it was a really great trip. Thank you so much to Chris and to Ernie for the help and the coordination, and we got to see really a lot. I think for most of us it was eye-opening, and it was certainly helpful. Does anyone want to make any specific comments on it? Amanda wasn't there.
Well, you know, I made a comment about the segment near the Empire Rail Museum that, you know, had gotten washed out in tons of soil over the track. And that was part of Catskill Mountain Railroad's train for the Phoenicia tubing thing. Is that right?
The tubing train stop.
Right. But I mean, that stop, that went over those tracks that we walked.
Yeah.
No?
Well, which part?
That was at the Empire Rail Museum. We walked up to the area where the railroad ties were.
Yeah, that was
right.
They went there until he was working.
All right. So one question I have is that those railroad ties have been there for a long time, and the county's been at CM, Catskill Mountain Railroad, to remove them. And at the same time, the section where that washed out bridge was, there was a bunch of railroad ties that the county's highway department put there and has left them there. Because that's what Chris told me. I took pictures of them. You said that you dismantled the rest of that trestle that went over the creek. I forget where it was. And the railroad ties were slaying in on the side of the rail bed. So, what's the county going to do about those? Are those cleaner railroad ties than the ones that are in the
Chris, you're asking Chris the questions, okay?
I think if you asked our attorney about it, the interpretation you would get, and this is based on a letter about other things like this, is they still have possession of the corridor until next May. The reason the county interceded to take the bridge down is for that. I think I have.
Let Chris finish.
So in terms of cleaning it up, the whole thing should have been CMRR's responsibility under the lease. In terms of cleaning it up, when we make that area, or if we make that area a trail, that will be cleaned up. But for now, it's like we could actually go back and say those should have been taken out by CMRR. One of the claims against CMRR is the cost of demolishing that bridge.
Well, was that part of the FEMA funds that could have been used for that?
Ernie, could I get a response?
I disagree with this, and it's part of the litigation, so I really don't want to comment about it.
And I'm not sure that I feel like we're getting a little off track, because really what we should be commenting on is not the minutia of potential litigation. But again, we're charged with looking at the corridor and making the best.
Right. My original question was that mudded area next to the Empire Rail Museum.
Right.
Was that once used by you?
Yeah, it was used until Hurricane Irene.
Okay. I mean, that's something that probably should have been fixed.
Is there FEMA money involved?
There is FEMA money that was allocated to make some of those repairs.
The area we walked was not a FEMA project. We should be really clear.
It was. The Phoenicia Yard is part of the FEMA money.
Below that is...
That's my understanding, but I don't want to get into
it. Yeah, I think
how would I know unless I ask the question? So.
And I have a list of FEMA projects.
Okay. So I guess, Carl, if you're interested, you could get a list of the FEMA projects and... if there's two different lists.
Well, I was surprised when I brought it up in the railroad meeting that
I'm sorry. Tracy,
yeah, I feel like we're a little. I feel like we're a little off.
This is not
course.
What I said, and if you want to make it a debate, I'm.
I don't
to
want.
Do
I definitely don't want to make it a debate. I don't want to make it a debate. We can have this offline.
Minutes, Dave, so
Okay. Can you both? Please, can I respectfully ask you both not to get into it?
You were making comments about what I said.
You did say.
Okay.
I
don't like you. Okay. Enough. This is totally. It's off the subject. We're reflecting on our walk and our tour, which I think was very successful. And these kind of specific questions, I don't think, are really what this committee's charged with. So
we
can have these debates.
We couldn't ask those questions on the walk because it opens meetings more.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, I think
and
we
it's fair to ask
questions.
I just do not want to be in a back and forth debate about litigation.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know it was litigation when I asked that question.
But it's fair to ask a question and get an answer. I don't want to be in a back and forth debate is all I'm saying. Yes, ma'am.
Did anyone else not attend this that, you know, professional
Jim?
Dave
and Dave didn't
attend.
I did.
That's
all Dave. I've been on it. I tubed the Esopus. I rode the railroad a long time ago.
I'll figure it out.
But Dave also didn't go on either.
Oh, okay. Well, let's figure out some way.
It was very worthwhile, I think.
I just, just to visualize it. With
that's
the,
right.
The
yeah.
And I couldn't. And to see the length of it, too, was
really.
Because I had only been on certain portions walking, and then certain portions stopping in, but seeing the full breadth of it from start to finish was really eye-opening.
I don't get to spend very much time with my family, and that was...
No, it was a worthy...
That had to come first.
Okay.
As it should.
Any other comments, questions?
I don't want to start a war. I just wanted another
Do you have more?
Question. I have a question about the encroachments of these trailers that were on the easement when we went off. What road was that?
They were just basically squatting there, right? I mean,
so that's, you know, I mean, what is the county's liability of, let's say, another Hurricane Irene and these people get washed away? Is that their fault because they're on our easement, or are we actually going to be liable for their, you know, health and well-being now that they're parked on the...
Do you have your response to this?
Yes, I believe the railroad sent letters to the county attorney in reference to this.
Well, this is a different matter. I think what you're referring to is the trailers that were near the washed-out segment of the track in Tunisia, right?
Yes.
They were camping trailers.
Yeah. Where it moved. The whole thing shifted.
Right.
And
yeah, people were... And they had no trespassing signs up?
Or
the people.
Yeah, I'd have to look at the map to see if they were on county property or not, but... There's been a tradition of people been in that area for quite some time. And right now, I don't know if they're, just because the tracks are in the creek, I don't know where the border actually is. But this west of Phoenicia has been encroachments. East of Phoenicia is very few.
And that might be a question for the attorney when we talk to the attorney as well. I mean, the county.
Well, I think they did use send letters to him.
There was a specific situation, but some trees and a little further.
But it wasn't that.
It wasn't that specific area you were talking about.
Yeah, a nice picture of that C9 bridge.
Yeah.
Very low angle.
Yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah.
This is new business. Oh, we have future corridor questions.
We do. We have the one that we canceled on Saturday, which we can look to reschedule. I don't know if we're prepared to reschedule it now or if we want to wait till our next meeting.
Why did we cancel?
We canceled because we did not have enough attendance for that one.
Yeah, maybe that one, maybe it would be great to wait till we get the
consultant
who can also then get a feel for
cooler
weather.
Yeah, I think that wouldn't be...
I have a suggestion.
Okay.
For the new business.
Okay.
You can move on. Given that pretty soon we'll have issued an RFP, I wonder if there's a way to create a digital library and a physical library where people wouldn't be able to take the material, but they could come in and sit down. But there is so much material, and there are probably going to be certain documents that we're going to really require,
yes,
and others that are optional.
And
I want to start figuring out how...
Fawn's already begun to get a digital library, and everyone will get flash drives in fairly short order. But I do think we're going to need, as we move forward with the consultant, there are going to be certain documents that we're going to want to put into a binder and phone. I've talked about that. I just didn't want to do it prematurely so that everybody had piles of paper that weren't necessary both for environmental and just work and some time-consuming relations.
Could I maybe request that initially, perhaps it already exists, but just a list of the related documents?
We can do that. We're starting to compile further. We've gotten more suggestions as well, so.
Okay.
And we'll circulate that to everybody.
Any have one question about the DEP easement. So we were out there the last time, well, the last two times we were on that portion by the reservoir. Do we have an open invitation to walk it, or do we always have to get permission? Because I know, you know, you need a DEC permit to go, or DEP permit to walk it.
We should just give them a heads up. They won't say no.
Uh-huh.
That way your car won't get ticketed either.
Yeah. Because one of the things I'm thinking about is, you know, that we canceled on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got a pretty large committee. I mean, for everybody to get on the same page at the same time, I'd like to take the train up to Run the Mountain Road and then walk the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily need a guide or, you know, anybody to show me.
Us know, just so we know you're there. And walk on the train tracks, or you take the train from the train tracks?
No, I take the train
and
get off at Run the Mountain Road and then walk up to what? The Woodstock Dyke?
Yeah.
Just before the DEP?
So you get to Milepost 10, you're in the DEP. Yeah.
A Basin Road Bridge is the border.
Okay.
Yeah. And... But, you know, I think if you're with anybody from the railroad or anybody from the county,
mm-hmm.
you're probably fine. I don't think they're going to go after you.
But you have trains on the weekends now, right?
Yeah, on Saturdays.
Okay. I'll buy a ticket.
Yes, I think we can afford to allow the members of the committee to go for free. That's okay. No, that does deprive the county of...
Except I think I want to kind of get going on this because mm-hmm. I don't know how much time, you know.
Yeah.
It's an election year. We're all busy. We've got tons of things to do, and, you know, weekends and nights are very busy.
The train ride runs every Saturday. And you know,
so is that open to all committee members at any time?
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
if you want to identify yourself as a committee member,
uh-huh.
this is what you want.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Any other...
You have to report it as a guest.
Well, that's why I buy a ticket.
If you're doing it for a research purpose,
you're an inspector.
The landlord doesn't have to pay money to go look at the property. So.
Any other
one of these?
Does anyone? Yes.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Have a safe trip.
Okay. It is 8:00. Alaska, 27.